Welcome from the Difference Church. Our message this week is titled The Declaration of Dependence. Let's listen in as Pastor Ken Willis gets started.
We wave high the flag of freedom as a patriotic reminder to never take our independence for granted. Fireworks explode into the night sky, lighting up the darkness, reminding us of our nation's calling in the world. One nation under God. We look into the sky and remember that for all the freedom we have to celebrate, we must never forget our dependence on God. It was by His hand we were afforded our independence, so we might stand for liberty, remembering He set us free from the bondage of sin. So we might stand for justice, for the Lord loves justice, and He will not forsake His saints. So we might stand for freedom, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We thank You, God, for the beautiful gift of our country. May we always depend on You to sustain us.
Here's the title of the message today: The Declaration of Dependence. The Declaration of Dependence. Wait a minute, you said that wrong. It's supposed to be independence. No, I didn't. The Declaration. See, our independence as a nation, it started off, and it will only stay that way as we continue to depend upon Him. See, this nation was started because there was men who had a dependence upon God. It's all the way through the articles of our government, right? Is even though some are trying to remove this and remove that and what they call it, redact this and cover up that and black this out and cover that up. No, it doesn't matter. It was already there, and you can't remove the spirit of it. Amen. And God was the founder of this nation, and He will continue to be the God of this nation. People say, well, this is no longer a Christian nation. No, you can't remove the heart of a thing. You can change its clothes. You can try to do this and change that, but you can't change the heart of a thing. Right? And this is still God's nation. It was founded on God's principles, but our independence remains strong only because of our dependence upon Him. Amen. So I want to talk to you today for a few moments about our declaration of dependence in God. Our declaration of dependence in God. You got your Bibles with you? We're a Bible-toting church, aren't we? Amen. We believe the Word, right? We're thankful for the Word. Go with me to Psalm 91, because you know what we say around here. Anytime we begin to teach anything, here's the question. Where's the Scriptures, right? Where is it in the Bible? I'm going to show you that it's not only, thank God for our Declaration of Independence, but I thank God that it's all based and rooted and founded and grounded upon our dependence in God. Listen to this in Psalm 91. Whoo, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. When all else fails, we've got the Word. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And the Word of God is what helps to turn things around. Right. These things that are happening right now, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, right? The stuff with the Second Amendment. And that was something else you shared with me. What was it? Yeah, breaking down the wall of separation of church and state. In other words, schools can have prayer in them again. Yeah. Right? All these things are happening because God's people are praying. See, that's why we can't give up just because we don't see it as soon as we begin to pray. That's why we can't give up just because we don't see it a week after or a month after. We pray and we continue to pray. Why? Because our trust is not in what the politicians are doing. Our trust is not, as long as it's continued, as long as I can see that it's going my way, my trust is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. The Bible says God raises kings up and He brings kings down. God can get done what He wants to get done no matter who's in office. So we don't have to be afraid. Oh man, it's another 2 years. I mean, yeah, I get that. But you know what? God is God. God is still on His throne. He was on His throne before this guy got in presidency, and He will be in His throne when he's gone. And no matter who's in office, God is God. Yeah. That's why it's important for us to pray for our president. Yeah. to pray for our vice president. Yeah. And they need it. Our job is not to hate them. Come on. Our job is not to belittle them, no matter how much material they give us. Our job is to love and to pray in faith. Father, I thank you that you're working your good in spite of what's going on around us. We're not. What did Paul say? Remember, he said all these things was happening to him. He says, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Hallelujah. Our faith is in God and in God alone. Too many people try to put faith in their faith. Well, I've been reading my Bible for X amount, and I spend as much time in prayer. Is your faith in how much time you spend in prayer? Are you putting your faith in how much you read the Bible? That's not what the Bible says. Our Bible teaches us our faith is in to be in Him and Him alone. Thank God for prayer. We need it. That helps your faith, right? Thank God that we read the Word. That helps us to grow in our faith. But my faith is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. All right, let's look at this and see what it says. Psalm 91, look at this. We love this passage. In verse 1, it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty God. In the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord. This, and see what else does it say? This I declare about the Lord. The government is my refuge. As long as they make right decisions, that's my place of safety. No, that's not what the Bible says. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. Come on, somebody. My place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. This is our declaration of dependence. It's in the Scriptures. Our declaration, when He freed us, He didn't free us from Himself. He freed us from our bondages so we could live in liberty with Him and for Him. Amen. Listen, there is no freedom outside of Jesus. I'll say it again. There is no freedom outside of Jesus. There is no freedom. There's bondage somewhere lurking, just waiting for you to walk away from God. Just lurking and waiting for you to not be in church or not get in your word or not spend time with God. It's just lurking and waiting. That bondage is just waiting for you to walk away from the things of God. That's why it's important to stay close. Oh, Lord, you are my God. You are my God. That's what I love about that. Those that dwell in the secret place. In the shadow, those who live in the shelter of the Most High, they will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. Oh God, you're my refuge. Lord, you are my refuge. Hallelujah. You are my place of safety. You are my God, and I trust in you. Amen. That's our declaration of dependence. Amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read this next one out of the New King James. New King James says this. It says, let us, Hebrews chapter 10, I didn't tell you where, did I? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it's going to be up on the screen. I got a lot of stuff to read today, so just kind of bear with me, but watch this. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Remember, the God that we declare that He is our God, He is faithful who promised. That's right. If He says, if I told you I would do it, I will see it through. Come on. Amen. We just need to tell doubt to get out the door. Come on. We need to tell fear that you ain't got no place in me. That's right. Jesus said on many, many occasions, fear not. Yeah. Be of good courage. Yes. Right? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. So that means we have say in that, don't we? Fear don't have the ability to dominate us. Fear only has the ability to dominate us to the degree we allow it. But we can look fear right in the face and go, even if you're shaking in your boots, right? Maybe something's got you freaked out. You can, right in the middle of that storm, you can say, peace, be still. Jesus didn't wait for the storm to calm down. Okay, we got peace. Now be still, everybody. Now that's not what he was saying. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the storm. Peace, be still. And that's what this verse is telling us. Let us hold fast. Hang on to our confession. Hang on to our confession. Too many believers are letting go of their confession because they're not seeing change as fast as they want to see it. Hold fast to your confession. Did you know that the Christian belief is, it used to be called the Great Confession? Why? Because the people in the Bible, that's where that came from. The people in the Bible were called the Great Confession because they were always confessing the Word. They were always confessing the Word, and they were holding fast to their confession. Amen? Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. The confession of our hope. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Hallelujah. Oh, man, there's so many things I want to say right now. I don't want to get ahead of myself, though. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. See, you should be confessing what you're hoping for. The Bible, and we're going to look at it here in a minute, but the Bible says that you do know faith and hope is not the same thing. Faith is declaring what you're hoping will happen. And when I say hope, I'm not talking about world hope. You've heard me say it before. I've told you there is world hope and then there is Bible hope. World hope says, are you going to be able to do that? I hope so, but there's doubt. There's you're not convinced that it's going to be able to come to pass. Right? How are you going to come through that surgery? Well, I hope I do well. What are you saying, really? You're saying, when it's surgery, dude, I don't know what the doctors are going to do. Right? But Bible hope says, no, I'm going to come through just fine. The Bible hope says, no, it's all going to be good. Why? Because our trust is in God. Our trust is in God. My trust isn't in the doctors. My trust isn't in an economy. He says, I will supply all of your need according to the world's economy. No, he said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, I can cause you to prosper and be blessed in the midst of a recession. I can cause you to prosper and be blessed in the midst of a depression. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world economy. Now, we all want the economy to come up, and it's going to come back. But whether it does or not, here's what we do know. My God will supply. Yeah. This is for those who dwell in the secret place, though. If we're not dwelling, I was trying to think of a cool rhymey word to use for that. It's not coming to me. But if we're not dwelling, we ain't getting. If we're not dwelling, we're not going to have that confidence. See, we don't always have to go around mentally thinking, okay, I've got to say that God is my God. I got to remember. I've got to say. Too many people are, even when you teach about confession, they begin to think it's a mantra. They treat it like, well, I'm just going to confess a bunch of good stuff. No. You got to confess what you believe in your heart. You got to, now this is what I would say. Even if you don't believe it, confess it. Why? Because faith comes by and, right? Faith comes by continually hearing the word. Present tense, action, verb. Amen. So what they did is they said, we're going to hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. Why are they going to do this without wavering? Because he who promised is faithful. Glory be to God. He who promised is faithful. Do you believe that this morning? He who promised is faithful. Did God fall off his throne? No, he did not. Let me answer that for you. He did not fall off his throne. He is faithful who promised. He gave the promise. He'll see to it that it comes to pass. Your job is to believe it. That's all you got to do. Is make that decision. I believe God. Remember what Paul said when he was on that ship? In the book of Acts, he said, I believe God that it will be even as it was told me. Well, he's told us some things in the Word. Here's your tolder. He's told, he's given us many great and precious promises. Our job is to not back off of them. He says, I take, in Hebrews, he says, I take no pleasure in those who draw back. In other words, you're not going to get the reward. But if I hold on to the promises of God, understand this. If it's in the book, are you ready for this? If it's in the book, it's already done in God's mind. So what you need to do is find the promise in the book and say, I believe I receive it. That's mine. It's done. And don't start talking like it's never going to come. Because when you begin, you step out in faith and you say, I just believe God's word is going to manifest in my life. And then you begin to talk about how it's not going to come to pass. You just completely dismantled every prayer that you prayed beforehand. Amen? Amen. Right? But I want you to be encouraged today because God is faithful who promised. His promises are true. He is faithful who promised. And look at this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. In the Amplified, it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. You see a theme here? There's one word that is in every one of those statements. All of it. Casting all of your anxieties. Right? That word casting doesn't mean it doesn't mean to just lay it before the Lord. It's not what it means. It means to take that thing, that weight, that anxiety, that stress, that worry, that fear, that whatever the issue, whatever the challenge, take the care of that thing and heave it upon the Lord. See, when I lived back in Alabama, you know, we used to live on the river, and we had a dock out there. And then I had never done this before. Anytime I had ever fished, it was with a rod and reel. And then I came across this concept living on a pier that you can cast a net, which is what Peter and them did. Remember that? Yeah. Right? And so I went out there one day and I learned and I practiced casting my net. And I would throw that net out there and it would all wad up and just hit the ground, hit the water. And the school of fish that I was throwing it over just scattered. You know, but over time I learned how to beautiful round net. And one day I took that net and I just cast it out there right over this dark school of fish. And I'm thinking, oh man, that was a beautiful cast. I wasn't thinking about what the results might be. And I began to pull that up because I wanted to see if I could do it again. But this time when I went to pull it up, I was having a hard time pulling it up. And then as I pulled it and I got it to the surface of the water, I could see that thing was loaded with fish. And I couldn't even pull it up. I was like 16 and scrawny. Right? I mean, I was a drummer on the drum line, man. I wasn't a football player. It's a lot easier to, you know. I'm pulling. And I'm calling for my brothers. Mark! Dennis! Dad! Somebody come help me! Right? And I'm trying to get this. They finally came out there. We pulled that thing up. And there was like 37 fish in that thing. I don't know why I told you that part. It was just really cool. But anyways, what I'm talking about, though, is the casting. When you cast that net, you don't just go, You wouldn't have made it off the pier, man. And that's why some people cast their care. Oh, Lord. No, you need to go, no, God, your word is true. I believe your word. I believe that it will be just as you told me in the book. You gave me many precious and promises, and I believe that every one of your promises are yes and amen. Glory to God. I cast all of this care. Yes. Heave it. Yes. See, now that was said back in the day when they used camels for travel. And they would have to take their packs, and they had them packs. They didn't put the pack on the camel and then load it up. They loaded the thing, they pulled the camel up, and then they took that pack, and they heaved it up over on the hump of that camel. And that's where that word comes from. You need to cast. past that care. In other words, I'm going to throw this thing, I'm going to let it go, and I ain't taking it back. And I ain't tying no string around my wrist to make sure I can pull it back. Too many people, they cast their care over in the Lord, and then the next day they begin to pull it back by worry and fear and anxiety.
That's right.
Taking those thoughts.
Yeah.
Matthew tells us, take no thought saying. You got, once you cast that care on the Lord, you got to consider it done. You got to consider it done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I got to move. Come on. But I want you to notice a couple of words here. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. In other words, that means that there is not one small little detail about your issue that slides by God unnoticed. He notices every little detail. And this is also what it means. It means that because He cares for you, that word cares means not only does it not slide by Him unnoticed, but that He has already put into motion a plan to meet that need. Now, it may not be met as fast as you want it to be, but that need has come in the past. And that needs to be your declaration of dependence.
Yes. Amen.
Father, I thank You that Your word works. I am completely fine being 100% dependent upon this word. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, I'm going to kind of just quote some things here because of time's sake, but look at this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen with the natural eye. So we don't have to see it to believe that it's happening.
Yeah. Right?
And now it says, now faith is. But here's one thing you need to understand. And I understand that in the literary part of that is that he was just saying, okay, now faith is this. But I'm telling you this, that God had them worded that way. Even if they didn't know it, God was also letting us know that faith is now. Faith is never in the future. Faith is always right here, right now. So if you're walking by faith, you're going to declare as if it's already done. He says in Romans, he says, I am the God who calls the dead back to life and calls things that do not exist as though they do exist. But our confession has got to line up with what we say we believe in our heart. We got to believe this stuff, man. Glory to God. That's why they're actually calling us believers. Crazy idea, isn't it? Listen to this. Faith doesn't look in the future. Faith looks in the now. Hope is in the future. As long as you keep talking about how it's going to happen, you're leaving that thing in hope. You're leaving that thing in the future. Do you want it to always to be going to happen? No, you want it to happen. You want it to be done. So start calling it done. Right? Mark 11, 23, 24.
Yeah.
Right? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that the things they say will come to pass, they will have whatsoever they say. Amen. Therefore, see, when you see a therefore, back up and see what the therefore is there for. So what he's about to say hinges on what he just said. What he's about to say doesn't work unless you're doing what he just said. So Jesus tells us, have faith in God, and he begins to tell us, say unto the mountain. And I've already taught you, just like Dad Hagin used to tell us. He said, the Lord showed him one time that in that scripture, he speaks of saying three times and believing once. Most people will say they believe God. And so the Holy Spirit told Dad Hagin this. He said, you're going to have to teach us three times as much on the confession as you do on the believing. Because what does that tell us? The importance of confessing the word is paramount. We've got to get our words lined up with what the word says and not what with our feelings and our emotions and this world's atmosphere tells us. Amen. I mean, I was thinking about this today, and the Lord kind of showed me this analogy. It's kind of like everybody's got a cell phone, right? But how many know you hook up to a Bluetooth item, you know, like maybe it's a little speaker or something, but you can actually get too far away from the speaker, or you can get too far away from the device that you're hooked up with Bluetooth. Maybe it's maybe you have a phone earpiece or something, and it's hooked to your phone. But if you leave your phone in the house and you drive off without it, you're going to get about 100 feet or so, and all of a sudden it's going to start going, and then it's going to die. It's going to quit working. And it's going to probably tell you it disconnected. And the Lord told me, he says, that's what's happening with believers. They're getting too far away. They're getting too far away from the connection. Getting too far away from the word. Getting too far away from prayer. Too far away from church. Too far away from worship. Too far away from keeping him the main thing. Right? No, we got, and what? But here's the beautiful thing. What do you have to do? You get too far away, just come back in range. Just get back in range. You get back in range, and all of a sudden, then the connection comes back. And then now things are flying. Now things are working. Amen. Now we're getting connected and staying connected to God. Amen. But faith doesn't look to the future. Faith is now. Now, I'm not going to have you turn here. I'm just going to quote this to you. But Isaiah 57, verse 15. Now, watch this. It's very powerful. Isaiah 57, 15 says, God, the lofty one, lives in eternity. God doesn't function in time. See, people that can't believe in miracles, those are the people that are they're confined to time. They're confined to how this world functions in the natural realm. But God doesn't live in time. Time is for us, not for God. Well, how can you say that? Because God lives in eternity, and God functions out of eternity. All he's got to do is get us to believe what his word says. Watch this. Everything you need is already in eternity. Everything you need is already sitting there in eternity. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 46, I think, it says that God knows the end from the beginning. In other words, God has already gone through your future, placed everything you need to do what he's called you to do and to have the victory in your future. So he knows it's already there. God lives in eternity. Every healing, every provision, every answer, everything you need, no matter what it is, it's already in your future. If you need good new blood veins, it's already there. If you need a new heart, it's already there. You need a new job, it's already there. Whatever it is you need, it's already been placed in eternity. Faith reaches into eternity and pulls it out of eternity because it's already there and brings it into the present realm. Amen. That's why we got to get our words right. Did you know the Bible says that if you can tame your tongue, you can control your entire body? Oh, get that. Selah. Ask God for a revelation on that. If we can get our words right, our body has to do everything we say. And it's not just the body. You can control atmospheres with your words. But everything you need is already in eternity. God, in other words, God has already done. Already. Which means he's not going to do it again. Because it don't need to be done again. How many know when God does it, he does it right the first time? God didn't do all that and go, oh, snap. I forgot about that thing that Eddie was going to need. I forgot to put that in eternity. No, God knew everything Eddie was ever going to need. And he said, I'm putting everything, that all of my blessings, all of my promises, I'm putting them right there in eternity. See, that's why when we talk about eternal life, we're not talking, we are living eternal life now. When you give Jesus your life, you receive what? Eternal life. Eternal life is not a span of time. It's not a measurement of time. It's not something we get when we get to heaven. No, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive eternal life now. What does that mean? That means, oh, Jesus, everything he has placed in eternity, you now, because of your faith in him, you now have access to.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's already there. With our words, which is how faith works, with our words, we reach into eternity and we call that and we pull that right into our present realm. These people who saying, well, I confess, but it ain't working. You stop pulling. Right? We're lassoing that thing. We're getting our words and we're casting. And it's laying hold of that thing, and we start pulling that. Oh, it's coming. Oh, Father, I have it. It's mine now. I believe I receive it now. You know, it says, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but shall believe in their heart that what they say will come to pass. They will have whatsoever they say. Let's get to the therefore. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe.
Yes.
Right.
Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe it. And it will be yours. Amen? So with our words, we lasso that thing out of eternity and we start pulling it into the natural realm. Glory to God. Did you know that the spiritual realm is so much more real than this natural realm that we struggle with so much? It is so much more real. And the more we focus on God's eternal promises. And the more we declare his eternal promises, the closer we're getting them to us. So don't let go. Don't give up. Listen, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do in our church, what he tries to do in people's lives. Come on, we can turn this thing around. In the name of Jesus, the devil is a liar. He's not even as close to being as powerful as God. Right? There ain't no way in hell. Stay with me. Come on. Did I just lose some of you? Come on, stay with me. They're like, oh my, I cannot believe he said that. No, there is no way in hell, the earth, or heaven that Satan is more powerful than God. No way. God is faithful who promised. God is faithful who promised. And I'm gonna leave it there. I think if you want to, you can go to Hebrews. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to give you the references. You can look them up yourself. I'm past time, but watch this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36 talks about receiving the promises of God. Abraham, come on. He was not moved by it. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. Abraham wasn't moved by the fact that he was 100 years old. He wasn't moved by the fact that Sarah was 90. He was moved by what God said. The Bible says he staggered not. When God told him something, can you imagine that? You're 90 and your wife is, or your wife's 90 and you're 100, and God says, you're going to have a baby. And most people would have went, what did he just say? He staggered not. Why? Because he had been believing for a child. And he staggered not at the promises of God and counted him who promised faithful to bring it to pass. Should we follow their example? Come on, let's look at the people that have gone before us and shown us how to walk by faith and say, I believe God. Paul said, I believe God that it will be. I believe God that it will be even as he told me. Do we believe God? That his promises will be just as he told us in his word. Don't let go of the promises of God. I don't care what it looks like, how long it's been. I don't care anything about all that. Listen, what I care about is that you hold on to the promises of God. Hold fast to your confession of hope. Hold fast to your confession of expectation. See, in the Bible, the word hope means high intensive expectation. I believe God. I don't care what it looks like. Yeah, well, you've been confessing that for 2 years. Shut up. I believe God. That's basically what Jesus said to Peter, wasn't he? Shut up. Satan, get thee behind me. Right? Would you rather hear shut up or be called Satan? Right? Or seemingly, he was really talking to Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan, really. But he was, because he knew what spirit was speaking to him. Peter was just allowing himself to be that vessel. Come on. How many know sometimes people will come up to you and try to knock you off your faith? Now, I'm not telling you to be rude to them and tell them to shut up. You just say, you know, I'm working on something. This is my business. Let me take care of it. And you keep on declaring. You keep on speaking. You keep on believing. You keep on confessing the word. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Amen? Stand up.
Thank you for watching today's message. Please like, comment, and subscribe. The Difference Church is a church that loves God by loving people. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world and that hope helps us to impact people's lives with purpose and passion. All are invited to come and hang out with us as we pursue the amazing love that God has for all of us. So come and be the difference with us as we share this amazing love with the world around us. At The Difference Church, there's a place for you. The Difference Church is located at 1055 Bain Street Southeast in Albany, Oregon. Join us online or in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.